This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Hallelujah. I need you to survive. Yes, we do. That's a message that Dr. King had out there for us to realize that we need each other. I need you to survive. I need to love. I need to care. I need to share. I need to have compassion. And you need to have the same thing. We ought to be in prayer with and for each other. Oh, yes. To God be the glory. I just need to take time today also to thank Sister Jordan for coming and share with us. She comes and share with us and give us such a wonderful welcome. Oh, my goodness. She always brings us on. I'm always excited about what the Lord is doing. So just know, Sister Jordan, we thank God for you and that you're doing. Thank God for our music aggregation. Come on. Thank God. Come on. Right where you are. Clap real loud. Let them hear you. Let them hear you clapping for them right now. They've been faithful, and we thank God for them. For our media ministry, we're so grateful for them and all that they do. We thank God for them. Just have to take time to tell people thank you. For those who volunteer, work with George Loud Vision, we thank you as well. We don't say that enough. For all of those, the board members of George Loud Vision and those who work there, all of our ministerial staff, our office, we thank God for our office. That's right. Thank God for the office. Amen. And for all of them, all the ministers, all the deacons, trustees, you know, a lot of people work. Do a lot of work, and we're grateful. And thank you for all of the members of First African Baptist Church, our guests who come to join us on today. Again, our scripture for today, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. Luke 6, 27 through 36, and John 15, 12 and 13. Again, Luke 6, 27 reads, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." And then John 15, 12 and 13. "This is my commandment." These are the words of Jesus in Gospel according to John. John chapter 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we ask now that you would bless your word as it goes forward on today. We thank you for your written word, for the Holy Bible, God. We thank you for allowing it to touch our lives, but God, help us to implement that we read, that you give us, to do the work you've called us to do for such a time as this. As we celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., for what he stood for what still goes on in our community, even beyond, we ask that you strengthen us now through your word, that your will might be done. Bless this message and each one who may receive, that you might get the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a mighty God. Our theme for 2021 was, it was a year of action. And we all were called to do good works. If you remember that, all year long we talked about the importance of doing good works. We've learned a lot. Dr. Winfred Hope, who's a former dean of our Congress of Christian Education for Juvenile Missionary Baptist Convention, he always tell us when we all assemble, all the churches over Georgia assemble, he said, you already done learned more stuff than you gonna do. Think about that. He said, y'all coming back for more to learn more, but you already learned more stuff than you gonna do. Wow. So really what we're being told is that as God speaks to us in his word, there are things that we still need to grow into. There are still things we need to do. So that was a year of action. So this year is our year to continue the good work. Yeah. This is the year to continue the good work. Our subject for today's message is love still works. Love still works. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was about unity. He was about coming together for the good of everyone. And he exemplified that in the life he lived and the things he did. Think about it. Even when we look at the civil rights movement, and we know that he was a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. But yet around him, he had other leaders and other prominent figures around him who helped him in this ministry, so to speak, the civil rights ministry. He had Reverend Dr. Ralph Abernathy, brother of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity. He had Dr. Hosea Williams, member of Phi Beta Sigma. He had, we know that he had Brother Andrew Young, Reverend Andrew Young, who's also a member of Alpha Phi Alpha. I can't leave ladies out. He was married to Sister Carretta Scott King, who was Alpha Kappa Alpha. All right, so. But yet we see that in what he was doing, even then, he sought to have unity. He could have easily gotten all the other brothers of Alpha and just started this whole movement, but he really sought unity. And I want to say that to us today. We need to do what we can to seek unity. Those actions were led by deep spiritual values of love and unity. If we could just embrace what Dr. King lived and believed, if we could just embrace, and live what Dr. King lived and believed, if we could just adopt that, he understood that we just didn't see all the same thing the same way. Some of us see things one way and others see things another way. Are you wrong because you're seeing differently? Or are you willing to look at it another way? That's what he was trying to do. I want you to take a look at this picture. Take a look at this picture. Get ready. I need you to comment on this picture. Tell me what you see and type it in the comments right now. Just type it in the comments. Tell me what you see. All right, type it in the comments as you go along. All right, take time to do that. Now, as you notice, if people are typing in comments, as you notice, some seeing one thing, some seeing something else, some seeing more than one thing. Go ahead. Go type it. Don't get mad with somebody if they see something different than you. That's the point. Go ahead. Type in, what do you see in that picture? Yep. I want you to keep looking at it. So, now I see it. Because you saw what somebody else typed. And now you're looking for what you saw what they typed. Yeah, you're looking for that. I know you're looking for it. You're trying to find, how did they get that out of that? Okay, yeah. All right. It's great to take time to just observe. There's to come back to me. As you begin to see some things in life, we don't all see things the same way. That does not make us evil. That just makes us different from somebody else, which could very well be good. But as we understand life and as we understand what things are doing, it's always right to do what is right. And it's always right to take time to find out what's going on with other people. All throughout this message, you're going to see the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. instead of me just saying them to you. We've arranged so you can actually see the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, because I want you to read it along with me and allow it to minister to you, because we admit that he's a great man, and the reason he's such a great man is because of the message, and not just the message, he actually lived the message that he was teaching. Woo, praise his name. And that's one of the reasons why we so highlight him today. God had blessed him so much, just to 39 years of age. Died at 39, but look at the legacy that he leaves and the messages that he left. And understand his messages are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Yeah, that's what makes it so powerful. That's why you can actually literally preach from what he said, because what he said comes from God's Word. We'll see that in just a moment. Let's look at some of the things Dr. King said. This is from his speech at Cornell College in 1962. People fail to get along because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. Wow. If we could just catch on to that. Fail because they fear each other. Fear each other because they don't know each other. And you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm saying I am strongly against what Governor Kemp is talking about giving everybody having guns, don't have to have a license, you can have your gun, show your gun, all this kind of thing. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the reason I'm so adamantly against everybody just having guns, you say it's legal for everybody to have guns, but there are people who are fearful of black folk, and there are people who are fearful of young black men. And because they are fearful, they haven't spoken to them, they don't know, they haven't talked to anybody. The only time they've seen somebody black was when they saw them on the television on their way to jail. And the kind of media that they get. So they think everybody who has a gun, everybody who's black is evil, and then everybody who's black and evil got a gun, now I fear you. And if you're arguing with somebody or you're talking loud to somebody and I see the gun on you, I'm going to assume the next thing you're going to do is grab your gun. So I grab my gun first, I shoot and kill you. And then I go to court saying, oh, I was fearful. I thought he had a gun. You know how many folk were killed that didn't have guns? So now what does happen if you're carrying guns? I'm not against you having a gun. Not black folk, I'm not against. Don't say pastor, say black folk can't have guns. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm very mindful of people who fear people because they don't know people. That's what Dr. King was saying. People fail to get along because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. Dr. King said this in a speech in St. Louis in 1964. He said, we must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. That's it. We have to learn. I need you to survive. Listen, all of us, we have to learn, yes, to live together, to be who God has called us to be, to love and to care for one another. We have to learn that and deal with that together, no matter what it takes. Or we'll end up destroying each other. What do I mean by that? It's violence. It's violence that comes into play. If I'm not going to get along with you, then I, you know, got to do something to you. If you don't agree with me, you don't see what I see. So I must be right, you must be wrong. I'm good, you must be evil. So, you know, God going to watch over me. He ain't going to watch over you. No, y'all got to understand what God is trying to say to us in all of this. In his Nobel, when Dr. King accepted the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, he said this about violence. Violence is immoral because it thrives on hatred rather than love. Violence ends up defeating itself. It creates bitterness in the survivors and brutality in the destroyers. Yeah, violence beget violence. Violence is not a win. It's not a win. And I know when somebody hits you, you want to hit them back. That's why the Word of God is telling us. They strike you, turn the other cheek. It's not saying just go around and telling people, hit me, just hit me, hit me. I'm not going to hit you back. That's not what that's about. It's about having a mindset that you're not getting angry at everything that happens in your life, but you're able to process it. You're able to think about it. You're able to look at God who can give us strength in the midst of all that we go through. You're giving somebody else a victory when you get so upset with them that you let them make you angry and make you mad and want to do violence. Look at what Dr. King said in his speech, The Most Durable Power, a 1956 sermon at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. This is what he said. He said, let no man pull you so low as to hate him. I'm going slow with this. I want y'all to get this. Let no one, I ain't put no man, just man there, that man, woman, child, let nobody pull you so low as to hate them. Yeah, I know there are people you can't stand and you get all caught up with them and you don't want to see them around you or call you or have anything to do with you. But you understand, you will not have joy. You will not have peace with that type of attitude. Dr. King has really, really blessed us with these words. Look at what he said in a message called Strength to Love in 1963. This will help us. You've heard this many times. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Now, take time to meditate on that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Only light can drive out darkness. Therefore, he says, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Can you really believe? If you see hate, it's love that's going to be able to dispel hate. It's love that's going to make a difference in the midst of all the hate that we have. And if there ever was a time in a nation where there was hate, we know right now, my brothers and sisters, there's hate all around us. There's hate everywhere you look, in government, in employment, in schools, wherever it is. Various things of violence are happening because people just can't stand each other. Now we got media spewing out hate against this group and media spewing out hate against that group, and we get caught up in what we listen to and what we hear, and we don't hear enough about love. We don't hear enough about getting along. We don't hear enough about being who God has called us to be. Even though Dr. King has said this years ago, we still have to hear it. In his message, Where Do We Go From Here, his book, 1967, he said, hate is too great a burden to bear. He said, I have decided to love. That's what we need to make our minds up today. Hate is too great a burden to bear. I have decided to love. What have you decided, my brother? What have you decided, my sister? Have you decided to keep on hating and not liking people and causing division and separation? Or have you made up your mind, I decided to make Jesus my choice? If Jesus is your choice, that means love is your choice. That means God is your choice, because we know that God is love. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to become. That's what he's doing for us. In order to love, in order to not hate, we have to learn to forgive. Notice what Dr. King says in A Gift of Love. This was published in 2012. Notice what the words of King says here. It says, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. Wow. Listen, these are just messages that we've had down through the years. You heard in our scripture text. Jesus says, love your enemies. He said, but the King is saying, if we learn to understand that there's some good in all of us, there's some evil in all of us, then we're better able to not hate. He's trying to get us to that point of where we do what Jesus says, which is to love one another. We're doing our best to get to that point of not hating, but generally loving folk who you normally may have been hating. Dr. King received the Nobel Peace Prize, and in his message there, he said these words, nonviolence is a powerful and just weapon. Indeed, it is a weapon unique in history, which cuts without wounding and ennobles the man who wields it. Yeah. If you could be nonviolent when everybody else is being violent, if you could be nonviolent, that's the message he was teaching and preaching and sharing and living. Look at what happens. Dr. King was really looking beyond what we may have been thinking, and he was looking more to the precepts of the Word of God and instilling this in others. Notice what he says in his message, Beyond Vietnam, when he did this at River Riverside Baptist, Riverside Church, I'm sorry. Listen to what he said in 1967. Here is the true meaning and value of compassion and nonviolence. Go again. Here is the true meaning and value of compassion and nonviolence. When it helps us to see the enemy's point of view, to hear his questions, to know his assessment of ourselves. For from his view, we may indeed see the basic weaknesses of our own condition. And if we are mature, we may learn and grow and profit from the wisdom of the brothers who are called the opposition. If there ever was a time when we need to take a step back and listen to and hear what others are saying, and even hear how they may in fact think or what they think about us or what we may think about them, what he calls the enemy's point of view, hear their questions, know the assessment of ourselves. If we could know from that, what a great world there could be. What a great person you could be if we could just take time to do that. Some people are so caught up in being angry and upset and listening to all the bad news, the evil news, all the bad things going on, what people not doing, all this. I'm very upset that the Senate has not passed the voting rights bill, the John Lewis bill. I'm very upset. They should do that. But we've already found out, fussing at them about it, arguing with them about it, calling them names about it, telling them you ought to do this, you ain't nothing but this, you ain't nothing. That is not helping. Listen, God is allowing us to see that there's another way, a better way, his way. And I really know and believe that there have to be some people, Republican, Democrat, there have to be some people that see the very decency of making sure that everybody has a right, not only has a right to vote, but making it easier for folk to vote. Make it so simple that people can exercise the God-given opportunity to help select those who be in leadership over us. I know. And the more we tell people that they're evil, the more we tell people that they're wicked, the more we tell people that all these kind of things that we say, that is not pushing the mark at all anyway. And I guarantee you, we've seen it happen before. There are those who would say, yes, the worst thing in the world is to stop the filibuster. The worst thing in the world is to do is stop that. You don't need to stop that. You don't need to do that. And because if you do that, that means that in the future, things are going to be bad. Let me tell you, and this is some evidence. This is me personally speaking, not First African. This is Thurman Tillman speaking. I kind of believe that if the Republicans were in charge now, and if they were able to get in charge after 2022, because people don't go and vote and they're trying to do, I guarantee you that if they have an opportunity to stop the filibuster, they will not waste a minute. Just like they said, you should not appoint a Supreme Court justice in the midst of an election. An election was almost a year away. And they said, no, we got an election coming up, so you should not select a Supreme Court justice. But then Ruth Ginsburg died, and you looked around, and not only was the election about to happen, the election was in the midst of going on, right there on us, and they decided, we're going to select the Supreme Court justice. Now, that's where I get my theory from, that if they had an opportunity to filibuster, they would do it. That's kind of give you some rationale behind it. But in all of this, listen to what I'm saying. In all of this, we should not be a folk that hate and demonize. We should be a folk that will listen and do our best to help people to understand why we're so passionate about people having the right to vote. Why are we so passionate? Well, yes, we've seen our brothers and sisters, our ancestors who have died for just the right to vote, literally gave up their lives. All kind of tricks happened in the South to make sure they couldn't vote. How many marbles are in this jar? You know, can you recite the Constitution? You know, come on, the preamble. Really? You know, people who just barely could read and write at that time because they did not want them to have an education or good education. Oh, yeah, we could argue all day long about the things that are happening in our community. We could argue all day long about health care and the access to health care And why instead of Georgia, we're not a part of Medicaid, but we just didn't go ahead and sign on and help so many people who need medical attention to be able to get it through the federal government. Oh yes, you do no good by telling people you're evil, you're mean, you're hateful, because once they figure out you care nothing about them, then yes, they're going to return the favor and care nothing about you. I'm just saying, Dr. King helped us with some ways of pulling some things together. What was Dr. King talking about when he talked about the true meaning and value of compassion and nonviolence when he sees the enemy's point? This is what he was talking about. I'm going to put it in context so you won't say I'm just pulling things out of the sky. To King, however, he was talking about the Vietnam War. And he said the Vietnam War was only the most pressing symptom of American colonialism worldwide. Y'all don't have this one. I'm reading this one. King claimed that America made peaceful revolution impossible by refusing to give up the privileges and the pleasures that come from the immense profits of overseas investments. Mm. King urged instead a radical revolution of values emphasizing love and justice rather than economic nationalism. In other words, he said, treat other people like you want to be treated, America. Oh yeah, that was radical. Because of the profits, because of what, and how many people today are voting and making up their minds and deciding whose side they're on based upon how much money they can get, when it's all about money. But now you can give as much money as you want to give to any campaign. You can just pull in the money. There's no law against the corporation just pulling in all you want to pull in. There has to be a way that people will hear God, will hear the word of God, and understand what God is saying. God honors us treating people like we want to be treated. That's his word. Jesus said it. Notice what King says as he accepted again the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. He said, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. Gotta hang in there and believe that right is right. Believe that God hears and sees everything, and he will use us to do what's right. Yeah, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Yes, what can God do? He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. What power has God put in us? I'm glad you asked. Look at what Dr. King says from a handwritten letter in mid-1960s. Handwritten letter. Dr. King said this: love is the greatest force in the universe. It is the heartbeat of the moral cosmos. He who loves is a participant in the being of God. He also said in his book, Where Do We Go From Here, in 1967, Dr. King, he's hearing this. Yeah, I hope we agree. He says, I know that love is ultimately the only answer to mankind's problems. Whew. If y'all get nothing else, if you get nothing else from this whole message, get this point. We should know that love is ultimately the only answer to mankind's problems. That's what's going to happen. And what do we mean by that? Well, you say, I love, Pastor, I love. All right, if you love, love is action. All last year we talked about, if you love, you got to put that into action. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Yeah, we were created to do good works. So God expects us to do good works, and love is that work we ought to do. And how do we make that love manifest? Well, love is just not not hating. Love is actually being an active verb to do some things about it, to do some things. Again, we were talking about doing, not just talking, not just praying, not just preaching, but doing some things. What are we to do? What are we to do? Notice what Dr. King says in the Drum Major Instinct that he penned in 1968. He said this: everybody can be great because anybody can serve. Let me say it again. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. If we know that Jesus says he would be a servant, would be great. Let me keep going. He says, you don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. Woo! Come on, Dr. King. A soul generated by love, willingness to serve. And then I'm gonna tell you just how deep this is and just how powerful this is. Notice what he says in I've Been to the Mountaintop message in 1968. He says, for when people get caught up with that which is right and they're willing to sacrifice for it, there is no stopping point short of victory. Woo. When we get caught up with what's right, and when we're willing to make the sacrifices to make sure that what's right is right and right get done, there's nothing stopping us until we get the victory. And that's what we have to do. That's what we have to be about. That's what we have to allow others to see. We have to allow God to move in us in such a special way that God's word can be made manifest in our lives. Lastly, Dr. King said this in his speech in Montgomery, Alabama in 1957. Get this, because this, I'm closing with this. Get this. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? That's it. We've been talking about a year of action. We've been talking about doing what we ought to do. But what are you doing for others? Well, I know you're taking care of your family. Great. Please continue to do that. I know you're doing what you got to do in your job to make the money. All right, keep doing that. But what are you doing for others? Even others who may have lost their way, that may not think the way you think, that may not look the way you do. What are we doing for others? Dr. King was willing to put his life on the line that others, this nation, could rise up and be called blessed. This nation could rise up and be said. I really believe that the whole civil rights movement was a movement of salvation. It was really an evangelism message, an opportunity for those who thought they knew God to realize you can't love God and hate your brother who you see every day. You can't love God and treat black folk any old kind of way. You can't love God and treat anybody any old kind of way. It was an opportunity for them to be able to see who God is and who we are. It's an opportunity for saying, you know, I'm going to do what God says to do. I'm going to live according to God's word. I'm going to do God's will so God can get the praise, the honor, and the glory. But I realize and do this, I have to do this for others. We shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, who is my neighbor? Anybody who's in need, that's your neighbor. That's the example Jesus gave us when he was asked that question. Whoever's in need, and I tell you, my brothers and sisters, all of us are in need at some point or another. We may not need the same thing at the same time, but when you find others who are in need, we need to make sure that we can help them with what they need and do it in love. Don't do it out of I'm better than you are. Don't do it because I know more than you know. Don't do it because I have more than you have. No, you do it because I'm more educated than you are. No, we do it because of the love that God has placed in us. Realizing if not but for the grace of God, that could be us. That could be you thinking the way they think. That could be you acting the way they act. That could be you strung out of drugs. That could be you in whatever situation it might be. But he's calling upon us to love each other in such a way. How great should our love be? Well, John 15 tells us, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he did love us. God loves us. How much did he love us? But notice what he says in verse 13 of John 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone will lay down his life for his friends. He's calling us to a life of sacrifice. He's calling us to a life of commitment. He's calling us to a life that we will trust God with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Our own understanding tells us we ought to not like them. Our own understanding tells us we ought to be mean to them. Our own understanding tells us you better get them before they get you. Our own understanding tells us a whole bunch of stuff. But God's word is telling us that we need to love as He would have, as God would have us to love. And if we love, that will transform all of the hate that we see in our country. That will transform all the hate that we see in our community. That will transform all the hate we see in our homes. That will transform all the hate we see in our schools. That will transform all the hate that we see everywhere we go. Love can transform that hate into love. And God is calling upon us to do, what are you doing for others? What are you willing to do? Now, I know somebody saying, I can't do that. I can't do that. I hear what you said. I hear what Dr. King said. But they killed Dr. King. I ain't down for that. They come at me, I'm shooting back. And I'm going to get as many as I can. I feel you. I know that. Well, one of the reasons why we probably can't feel this message and why we can't do what the Word of God is saying, because we may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We may not have committed our life to saying, Lord, I'm putting you first. I'm going to trust you with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. So he calls us to love like God wants to love. And listen, he's telling us that serving him will pay off. I know we want to get everything we can right here, right now. And you may not believe that there's a heaven and a hell, but one day we're going to leave this place. And it's based upon what we have done since we've come to know him while we lived on this earth. That determines what reward we will get for eternity based on what we have done and how we treated people while we were here on earth. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me, thirsty, gave me drink, stranger took me in, naked, and you clothed me, sick, and in prison, you visited me. They said, when did we do that? He said, in as much as you have done it, not as much you talked about it. In as much as you have done it, not as much you preached about it. In as much as you have done it, not as much you sang about it. In as much as you have done it unto me. These will go. Yeah, into life everlasting. Oh, yeah. So if you're saying for some reason, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I agree with you. You can't. The only way you can do it is with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want to plead with you right now to know that God loves you so much that Jesus came, went about doing good. He allowed men to put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head. And on the cross, he died for all of your sins. On the cross, he died for all of my sins. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. But early on that third day, he got up from the grave with power. Power over the grave, victory over death. Over 500 men, women saw him after he had died of physical death. And he got up. Then he ascended into heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to direct us. The Holy Spirit who was guiding Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The Holy Spirit who guide each one of us to be more of what God would have us to be and to grow in him and be everything God called us to be. So today, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, give you an opportunity to say, I need the Lord in my life. Don't talk, worry about it. You say, look, Pastor, I've done some terrible things. I've been a bad person. I've done this, I've done that. God knows all of that. But he stands willing to forgive you of all sin and unrighteousness as he's forgiven us. Yeah, everybody connected with the church. We have to admit that we've sinned, we've come short. That's no big announcement when you say, oh, I've messed up, I've sinned. We all have sinned and messed up. The Bible says all have sinned, not y'all have sinned, all have sinned and come short. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what God has for us, eternal life. That's what he has for you. That's what he has for me, eternal life. He has it. God loves us so much. God loves you so much. So you admit you're a sinner. And then you're willing to say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. That's what we have to do by faith. Believe that he died for our sins and that he rose from the grave. We know that he's coming back again. So we'll pray this prayer with you right now that you can accept Jesus Christ in your life. I can pray it, I can say it for you, but you have to say it. This is a prayer you have to pray. You have to believe that you want to turn from your sins. You have to believe that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave. You have to believe that he's coming back again. You believe this. So I lead you in this prayer, and you just repeat after me if that's what you believe. Let's pray if you want to accept Christ. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let us know. You can let us know through our Facebook. You can let us know right now, type in notes. Or you can let us know by our website at First African BC. That's First African BC as in BaptistChurch.com, FirstAfricanBC.com, and let us know. Or you can actually call the church at 912-233-6597. 912-233-6597. And no matter when you call, late at night, early in the morning, you call midnight tonight, Sister Mary going to answer the phone. No. She'll answer, but it'll be an answer machine, all right? And just go ahead and leave a message, and we'll get back with you. Again, we just thank God for you coming to share with us on the day. Wow, what a wonderful opportunity. Thank you for worshiping with us as we celebrate the legacy and life memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We also, again, ask you, as George said earlier, please give. You can pay your tithes and give an offering on Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. Please give. Please give. We thank God for you. Let's remember all of our announcements. You'll hear more. We'll send it out by our all call, announcements by all call. You also get email, and you also get text messages. So if there's anything you want to know what's going on you don't know about, just make sure you contact us. We'll make sure you're on that list to get that. Again, we thank God for you. We give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory. As we prepare now to leave, we're shouting, we're thanking God, we're giving God praise. Please share this. Jordan already said this. Please share this with others. Share this in a special way, or take little excerpts of it and share parts of it if you don't want to share the whole thing. So others who don't know God may come to know God, that he can get the praise, the honor, and the glory. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we thank you, we love you, and adore you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for First African Baptist Church and everybody connected with First African. Thank you for all our brothers and sisters who listen on today, who are not a part of First African, but who actually will come to know you and become a disciple of Christ and may even become a member of First African. We thank you, God, and we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Guide us, keep us, and strengthen us that we would go and serve as you would have us to serve every day of our lives. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abound us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let all the people say amen and praise God. Connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.